Here we go.
Yeah, are you like nervous isn't the word, but I definitely feel different about this one.
Yeah, it's, I don't know.
Somber or, yeah, end of an era.
Yeah, pensive. I feel like a lot of that is the vibe of the episode because it's like such a, I don't know, we should probably start the podcast. I'm going to start talking about that.
Okay.
Hello and welcome to Horse and Allowed, arguably one of the best Australian BoJack Horseman podcasts. I'm Jem DeSalis.
And I'm Paige Winkle.
And today we watched the season and series finale of BoJack Horseman, a Netflix show, season 6, episode 16.
Yep, which was called Nice While It Lasted.
I did know that, but I wanted to let you say it.
Oh, thank you.
This is it.
Yeah, this is the last one.
The last one that we know of.
Mm.
Do you remember when Sherlock ended and there were like people online who thought that there was going to be like a secret another episode of it after the finale?
Yeah.
What a wild ride. If anyone's curious about that, you should watch the H-Bomber guy's video on why Sherlock is garbage. He goes like really deep into the like conspiracy about like maybe there's a secret good finale. But this was a non-secret good finale, I would say, but we can talk about our broader thoughts at the end, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So this episode starts with Diane and BoJack staring up at the stars, and then we see like the green line of like a heart monitor start beating, and then this like wild scene starts happening. I think it's the music makes it wild, but we first see like BoJack dying and getting a sheet put over his head, but oh no, that was on the TV. That's how they ended horsing around.
Well, not necessarily even ended it, because I think that he got like died and came back to life at some point. I think someone says that about the show.
Okay, that's so interesting.
It's possible that he didn't actually, that's not the finale. But it could be.
Yeah, imagine if that was real, like if that's how we saw BoJack had died, just with that funny expression with his tongue hanging out of his mouth.
The first time you watched this episode, if you remember, did it like fool you for a sec? Like, did you think that that was actually BoJack dying in hospital?
Like for a second, yes.
Yeah, like there are many visual clues that it's not actually our BoJack, because like for if no other reason, he looks very young. And also it reveals pretty quickly, like, kidding.
Yeah. But for a second, I was like, oh my God, they've done it. They've killed them.
Mm-hmm.
So then it zooms out of the TV and, like, we see the state that he's left his old house in. So with, like, the pills and the snacks and the alcohol and the Blu-ray sets of horsing around. And the new owners come home. I don't know what they were doing out so late, but up to them. And, yeah, they find that the place is trashed, and they also find BoJack in the pool.
Yeah.
So then we get another fake out where it says Horseman Dead as, like, the headline of variations instead of variety.
Magazine. I have a screenshot of it.
Ooh.
So, Headless Horseman Cinematic Universe Dead at Sony by Grovel Wiggleworm, presumably a worm. The long-awaited Headless Horseman Reborn, Fall of the Unrisen, has been officially cancelled after numerous delays, and director Guillermo del Toro expressed his regret that the project never came together. It would have been a real change of pace for me. It was going to be all dark and spooky, with skeletons and strange animal monsters, and maybe some really big robots as well. But now I'll have to do something else. Also, the image is pretty funny because, like, the horse is also, like, dressed up and is, like, holding the lantern, and then the Headless Horseman is just, like, riding him as a piggyback.
Yeah.
Proper quality.
So is that how that time worked when we didn't have cars? Like, why is that
I guess.
Seeing a person riding a horse?
Yeah.
I just thought it was going to be a headless horse.
How would you tell?
Good point.
I promise, I'm a horse. Oh, that must be in the BoJack universe. It's been a while since we've had a thing like this to talk about. But, like, forensics in the BoJack universe, if you found, like, a headless corpse, do you think there are, like, procedures to, like, try and figure out what species they were?
Yeah, there must be.
Based on, like, the type of, like, body fur they have and stuff like that, like, the size of the neck wound.
Yeah.
Like, there must be, like, books written on how to identify headless corpses.
Yeah.
Or like skeletons that you, like archaeologically, if you find like a skeleton but it's without its skull, is there a way to tell in the same way that like you can sort of tell a male and female skeleton apart by the size of the pelvis in humans? Like, is there some kind of equivalent thing with like the, like you might be able to tell at least like if they had a really large head based on like the connective bones?
Yeah, and they're like, oh wow, that's really interesting. Maybe different species have like different like weighted bones.
Do birds still have hollow bones?
Yeah, good point. Well, they must do because they can still fly.
Yeah, but they fly with magic. Like they're clearly not flying through physics.
Good point. We worked it out on the last episode. There is magic in the BoJack Horseman universe, but it's just for bird people. Oh, wow.
I reckon that it's for bugs as well, even though they have wings. There's no way physics would work that way.
Yeah, so then we like pan over and in a smaller section of that page it says BoJack Horseman not dead. So then we see BoJack wake up in, they keep like faking us out. Like it does kind of look like he's waking up in a coffin, but it's a bed and he's chained, not chained, he's cuffed to the bed with a police officer looking angry at him. What's his name?
Is it Meow Meow Fuzzy Face?
Yeah, Meow Meow Fuzzy Face.
Yeah.
And then we go to the news at MSNBC with Tombo Grumbo.
Tombo Grumbo.
Yeah.
What a silly kind of name you turned this man's normal name into. You fool, you clown.
I know, I'm getting cocky on this last episode. I'm like, I don't need the names up in front of me, I'll remember them. Yeah, so we see, I like this joke. The image on the screen is like a court drawing, but it's a court drawing of him doing that face.
Oh, it is too.
That, yeah, the picture that he hates.
Yeah, it's the sneezing picture.
Yeah.
Also, the headline is the court before the horse instead of the cart. I get it.
So BoJack's on trial, and then we kind of see him walking into the court, and he's got his black suit and his aviators and paparazzi. One of the kids of the family is being interviewed. Did it again. What's her name?
What? Who's?
The interviewer that we know. You know her name. Why haven't I written it down?
Oh, Biscuits Braxby.
Yeah, Biscuits Braxby. Well, yeah, we see he's kind of being interviewed. Did you want to go into what's on the front of the magazine?
Yeah, so he's saying, BoJack scared the bojeebies out of me in Drama Weekly. but we also have Andrew Garfield finally talks about his harrowing hair scare. So he's got like his massive hair bandaged up. Ethan Hawke and Emu Thurman, old news, new rumors. It's just a fun joke about how those people are birds. And George Clooney is sent to prank rehab, and it's got him like posing in front of a burning car. But we've also got coma survivor awakes from second coma, and we've got a picture of our old mate Wanda.
Yeah,
she's been named president of Gronkle, which I forget if we know what that is. We've heard so many names of so many companies and mergers. But yeah, so she's around. I guess she was in another coma, which isn't great.
It kind of explains why she wasn't in that mid-season episode where they went back to his exes. Or they should have, and it could have just been her in a coma for like a minute and then jumped to the next person.
That would have been fun. Not at all terrifying.
Good point. We'd be like, did BoJack put her in the coma?
Yeah, like, imagine the speculation.
Oh, boy.
Oh, also the song that's playing during this whole montage is, as far as I can tell, written for BoJack Horseman. Like, I couldn't even find out who the artist is who sings it.
Oh, okay. But
if you watch it with the subtitles on, you can read the lyrics, and they're a lot more... Like, you know how we talk about how the regular end theme of BoJack seems like it was written by someone who was only told, like, the barest premise of what the show was going to be?
Mm-hmm.
This is actually, like, the lyrics of this song are actually, like, about, like, oh, I want to be the good guy, not tell me to help, I'm a horse man, and I'm an actor, and now I'm going to die, but now I'm not dead.
Pick up on that.
Actually quite well written.
Oh, cool.
Why the long face is a pretty funny thing for it to be the chorus. Because he is a Horace.
Okay, so yeah, then we see the kid. He's being interviewed by a Ryan Seacrest type on the Hollywood show on Morning
yeah,
Time.
He's Hollywood. Like famous. He's the Bojeebies kid.
Yeah.
Apparently his name is Spanky Pankerton.
And yeah, then we see on the news again, Tom Jumbo Grumbo is, like, interviewing Sarah Lynn's parents, which I don't know why, but that's a thing that's happening. And then we go to the court and BoJack's on trial. Yeah, and then it spins over to Pinky's office. He's reading the newspaper and we find out that BoJack's been sentenced to 14 months in a supermax prison.
Which seems... excessive, like, not the amount of time, but, like,
yeah.
I thought the whole point of Supermax was that it was for, like, really dangerous people.
Yeah, me too.
I feel like you could just put BoJack in a regular prison and he wouldn't be, like, I don't know, maybe it is, like, also meant to be punitive. He's being put in the most unpleasant kind of prison, but I don't know, the justice system in America in particular is pretty fucked. I'm not actually sure how they do it.
Yeah, sorry.
There's like
I just...
a whole thing about the Bojeebies kid on the newspaper. Like, that's maybe what Pinky's actually reading.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
You know him, you love him, and one thing's for sure, you'll definitely never get tired of Vim. Spanky Pankerton, better known as the Bojeebies kid, who found actor BoJack Horseman half dead in his new home and spun that fear into a quirky quip that took the world by storm, has just signed with the Gersh Agency. Along with his upcoming stand-up special Bojeebies, he's also appeared on this season of Dancing with the Stars and embarked on a book tour for his recently published book, Bojeebies. BB's Kid, My Journey.
Wow.
There's also Margot Martindale steals the spotlight in Classroom Warfare. Long overshadowed by her famous co-stars, character actress Margot Martindale is finally making headlines of her own after making off with a large spotlight from the set of her new film. I actually didn't read that entire joke until just now. Very funny.
I don't know if it's related or not, but the prison, the Supermax in California is called the Pelican Bay State Prison, and Pelican's an animal, and this show has animals in it. Maybe that's what they were doing.
I think it is on the same, like, on the cover of the newspaper that Pinky's reading, unless my notes are out of whack, but Netflix show review, too many giraffe jokes.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Good self-referential joke. So then we see BoJack going to prison, and you know, you get the iconic, like, door shutting, and we find out that his bunk mate is a skunk with really good hair. It's quite impressive.
Yeah, I like that skunk.
Yeah, and then we get the intro. I didn't notice anything different.
I'm pretty sure it's the same.
Okay, so then BoJack's being the director of a theatre play that he's putting on in prison.
A theatre play, you say?
A theatre play, you know.
I wouldn't be talking to you now if I didn't believe that it wasn't too late for us. So, what are we doing here? I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm here to put on the best goddamn production of Hedda Gabler this Supermax prison has ever seen.
Okay, so the guard tells BoJack to wrap it up, and BoJack's like, oh, it's 10:30 already.
Okay, look, guys, I gotta go, but I'll be back tomorrow and we'll pick up rehearsals Monday. If everyone could be off book by then, that would be phenomenal. Schlesinger, if you have time to fashion a shiv and organize a jump on the rats in Block C, you have time to learn your lines, okay? Priorities.
I just want to talk about how the costumes in the play are, like, very bad and made of, like, craft supplies. But, like, in particular, I really like this one goat who is holding a bit of cardboard that's been painted blue and they've just written waves on it and drawn some waves and he's just moving it slowly up and down, which is very good.
Yes, cool. Yeah, okay, so BoJack gets picked up outside of the prison by Mr. Peanut Butter.
There he is! Uh-oh, America's most wanted over here, huh?
Thanks for picking me up.
The jury finds you guilty of being a super cool dude, am I right?
You're extremely clever. Can we go?
I sentence you to life, filled with my friendship!
Mr. Peanut Butter's in a fancy suit.
His tie has bones and balls on it. Pretty good.
Yeah.
So you were just planning on wearing this to the wedding?
These are the clothes I went in with. I didn't know I'd be going to a wedding in a year.
What are you in for again?
Officially breaking and entering, but I think it was kind of for everything.
Oh, a little bit of everything. Like the varied cuisine at your favorite small plate Lazy Susan restaurant, right?
Pardon?
Do you have a favorite establishment of that sort?
A favorite small plate Lazy Susan restaurant? Hell if I know.
BoJack, it means so much that you would say that.
I actually am a little hungry. Where can we get lunch around here?
Hell if I know.
No? Oh, how about the diner?
There's a nice little moment where he, like, checks his burger for spit and there isn't any.
Oh, that's sweet.
He's like, oh. Also, in the background, our regular billboard that we often see things on is an ad for upcoming film Fireflame, and it is starring Gina.
Yeah.
Which I'm sort of torn about that because obviously that's a good thing for Gina and like it's a positive thing, but it kind of undercuts the message of that episode if everything turned out to just be fine with her career.
Yeah.
Like it kind of makes it feel more like the thing didn't really matter as much. But at the same time, I like Gina and she deserves a win and I'm glad that she and Kelsey get to work together. Also, Courtney Portnoy is in it.
Yeah. Yeah, and she looks a bit like Wonder Woman. And we find out it's Princess Carolyn that's getting married, and she's marrying Judah.
Do you spend a lot of time with them as a couple?
Well, I see Princess Carolyn a lot at birthday dad events, but Judah usually stays home with Ruthie.
I can't believe she's getting married.
Thought it would be with you, huh?
Honestly, I thought it would be with nobody because I wasted all her best years.
Turns out her best years are now.
Yeah, joke's on me. Couldn't even waste the right years. I'm shocked she could get me out for the weekend.
The power she wields.
It's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Yeah, Mr. Peanut Butter kind of fires off all of these ideas for projects that BoJack could do when he gets out.
My main goal right now is just not screwing up this weekend.
You won't screw it up.
I'm sure I'll find a way.
He bites into his sandwich and he gets sauce all over his new suit. So they have to go get a new one. So now they're driving and we see BoJack's new suit, which I like better. It's instead of gray and like mustard tie. It's blue.
Yeah.
You think Diane's going to be there?
Everyone's going to be there. It's the party of the year.
I haven't talked to Diane since, What about you? You seeing anyone?
I'm really trying to focus on myself right now. I had this breakthrough recently. One day in therapy, I just blurted out, is my problem with women any movie directed by Christopher Nolan? Because yes, women are involved, but it's never really about the women. It's about me.
That's actually somewhat astute.
Are my self-destructive patterns and unexamined cycles of codependency the popular Jim Carrey character The Mask? Because somebody stopped me.
Are all of your breakthroughs phrased like that?
Which is nice. He's finally learning to be okay with himself.
I think that one of the really positive things about this episode is that it shows that characters are having development that's entirely undriven by BoJack. I mean, the whole season kind of had a lot of that, like a lot of Diane's story doesn't really have anything to do with him. Whereas when he was holed up in that cabin for like a year, a couple of seasons ago, and he was like missing, it seemed like things kind of stood still without him a bit more.
Yeah.
Instead of moving forward.
Yeah.
But now it's like a lot of big important things have happened off screen and completely without BoJack's influence. And even the stuff about like, I couldn't even waste the right ears. Like, it's nice that he gets that moment of being a little bit humbled, realizing that like, no, he wasn't the most important thing to happen to Princess Carolyn.
Yeah. Oh, that is sweet. So Mr. Peanut Butter stops at the Griffith Observatory.
Which BoJack is not a fan of.
Well, what are we doing here? Is this where the wedding is?
I just have to make a real quick stop.
At the Griffith Observatory?
I have a press event.
You took me to a press event?
It was on the way.
That's not the planetarium, right? That's a different thing.
Oh, is it? Okay.
I could be wrong.
I might have been confusing the words observatory and planetarium.
Some of you might remember me as the notorious Stealer of the D. Now, to celebrate the success of Birthday Dad, I thought it was time I gave a birthday present back. I called up my favorite sign company and said, I want to give this whole town the D. D for Dad. Birthday Dad, that is. So, without further ado, let's say goodbye to the era of Hollywood forever and say hello to...
But it gets revealed and it's a B.
No, I said D as in Birthday Dad. No, obviously I meant the dad part of Birthday Dad. I assume that went without saying. Look, I gotta go. But the next time I need a sign made, I'm going to strongly consider going with a different company.
Good callback.
Oops, I was wrong. The planetarium is at the Griffith Observatory.
Oh, okay.
So that's fucked up.
That is fucked up. Mr. Peanut Butter, there's plenty of places you can see that sign.
Yeah. This is like an iconic spot, I guess. Like, obviously, having stuff about the sign and how Mr. Peanut Butter stole the D, even though he didn't really, like, that's a nice callback to season one. But it's also a really good bookend and a really good fake out for the series because it like good intentions aren't everything. You might try your best to fix something and just make another equally bad mistake. BoJack's Hollywood era, like the era of the show and the events that happen in it, might be over now, but that doesn't mean that his life going forward is going to be like back to normal. It's going to be something different.
Yeah.
It could be better, it could be worse, but it's going to be different. It's much more poignant than if he had just successfully added the D.
Yeah, definitely.
Or if something had happened immediately to the D and, like, knocked it over.
Yeah. Well done, writers. They did good job.
Clap, 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 clap.
Yeah, so after that's... Oh, yeah, I wanted to mention. So the way that the B is revealed is, like, they have those whales on drones that come in. It's a callback, isn't it, to Todd's company?
Yeah, it's like a drone thrown thing, but also it's the Cabracadabra whales.
Yeah, got it. After you explained it to me. I'm like, that's a reference. Yeah, so after that's all over.
Next up, wedding!
I'm not ready for this. You gotta take me back to jail.
What?
No, I can't be around people. I can't face them. I'm not ready.
What do you think is gonna happen?
I don't know. I just know that something bad is gonna happen if I go to that wedding.
How about this? We'll go to the wedding, and if you get there and you want to leave, we can leave. And if you want to stay, I'll stay there with you. I will not leave your side.
You sure?
Of course. I'm here for you, buddy, no matter what. Unless I see my good friend Erica and get distracted by some noteworthy aspect of her character or presentation.
I've just put Mr. Peanut Butter says the thing that he says to his girlfriends at parties. James thought was a cool callback. First time watching this, I got excited thinking we would meet Erica, but
I don't think there would be any way to do that and have it like be a good payoff.
Yeah, good point. But it was because this is the last time we see Mr. Peanut Butter, so it's kind of like a nice send off.
Yeah, it is kind of nice that Mr. Peanut Butter, who is the closest thing that we have in season one to an antagonist, is actually just very earnestly BoJack's friend.
Yeah.
I like that he was the one who went to pick BoJack up, because of course he would.
Yeah, I liked this bit. It was good closure on the BoJack-Mr. Peanut Butter relationship. Yeah, so then we get to the actual wedding, and BoJack's standing in the corner alone. Mr. Peanut Butter's found Erica and run off.
He eats a little bit of honeydew and it's like,
Yeah.
So I thought it was just a cute little, like, things are different maybe. Like,
yeah. So he's like staring at these two doors, and one is for the restroom, which goes downstairs, and one is going up towards the roof. Like, you have to go upstairs. And then Todd, like, drags them away.
The fireworks are going to start in 10 minutes. There's no time to explain. We need to go down to the beach so I can sit on your shoulders.
What? Why?
I just said there's no time to explain.
Okay.
Whoa.
So, why did we need to be on the beach?
Oh, you just seemed really overwhelmed at the party. I thought you could use some air.
Oh, thanks. But then, why are you on my shoulders?
So I could get a better view of the fireworks.
Okay, get down.
He rides him the way people used to ride horses.
Running along behind them before Todd drags them out, we see little baby Ruthie. She can walk now.
Oh, yeah. This scene reminded me, just because Aaron Paul, but Aaron Paul is in season 3 of Westworld, and he's really good in it.
So Todd brings up a cool callback. He's like, how'd you get out of prison?
Did a helicopter crash into the side of the building and then you just walked out?
What? No, I'm just here for the wedding. I'm going back tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. I remember thinking, like, that's a weird thing to say. I'd forgotten that that's how Todd got out of prison. Todd was in prison.
So they do a little bit of small talk, and BoJack eventually opens up that he's worried about what happens when he gets out of prison.
But it's easy now in jail. I don't have to make any choices for myself. I worry about what's going to happen when I get out. What if I relapse again?
Then you'll get sober again.
Just basically the exact same worries he had when he was getting out of rehab.
Yeah. And Todd talks about the hokey pokey.
I was at the office the other day doing the hokey pokey with some work associates. And I realized everyone misunderstands that song.
Yeah, I love that he refers to the babies as his colleagues. He mentions the awkward relationship that he has with his mom.
I feel like she doesn't really get me, but, you know, she's trying. And a couple years ago, I never thought I would have any kind of relationship with her.
What changed?
I did, or she did, or, we are.
Huh.
But it's like the song says, you do the hokey pokey and you turn yourself around. You turn yourself around. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, I don't know if the songwriters put that much thought into the existential significance of the lyrics. They literally rhyme about with about.
The whole thing about the hokey pokey feels very, like, self-referential as well. Like, like, I don't know if we're meant to read into it that much.
But isn't the point of art less what people put into it and more what people get out of it?
Is that the point of art?
Maybe. Or maybe art doesn't need a point.
I can't tell if you're being smart or stupid.
Oh, I never know.
I feel like they're talking about the show, because people talk about BoJack like that all the time.
Yeah.
Also, you know, some people call it the Hokey Cokey with a K?
Yeah.
Fucked up. Moving on.
Yeah, he's my grandfather, but I call him Grumps. And his favorite kind of ice cream is Hokey Pokey, which I think is just a real cool, like, cute thing for a grandfather to have as a favorite type of ice cream.
Hokey Pokey ice cream?
Oh, it's like vanilla ice cream with, I guess it's like butterscotch in it? Is that just a New Zealand thing?
Hokey Pokey is a flavor of ice cream in New Zealand, consisting of plain vanilla ice cream with small solid lots of honeycomb toffee. Hokey Pokey is the New Zealand term for honeycomb toffee.
Okay, it's literally just a New Zealand
interesting
thing.
Looks nice.
Yeah, how did I not know
foreign
that? Wow, okay, that's like kind of blown my mind a bit. I have this dull point, which I think was meant to lead me into a deeper conversation, but I can't remember what it was. But they discussed...
What is it? What does it say?
What's the point of art? Because I do discuss that. I think I was leading to, like, BoJack makes these movies and things that he thinks are, like, works of art. I don't know. Cut that out. Never mind.
I think that's a very big question to try and tackle.
Yeah.
It's above our pay grade.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. but I really liked this send-off for them. Todd kind of imparts some wisdom in BoJack, which is nice.
Yeah.
I can't tell if you're being smart or stupid.
Oh, I never know.
I think you had it for a moment and then you lost it.
Oh, well. It was nice while it lasted, right?
Sure. It was nice while it lasted.
So, back at the wedding, BoJack tries the honeydew and he's like,
It's a cute little nod. Like, not a big thing.
Yeah. It's a really weird, like, table setup. There's that big pile of honeydew and grapes, like, separately. And then there's also, like, meatballs on the same one. It's very weird.
Meatballs are a fruit, if you think about it. In, like, a wrong way.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so Bojack and Princess Carolyn kind of are talking.
Congratulations. And Judah, too. Where is he?
I think he's going over some contracts.
So your groom is doing paperwork during his own wedding reception.
Oh, we had our real wedding a week ago. This one's just for the industry.
What?
I invited the town's top talent, took away their phones, and shuffled them together. Next day, they're calling me. Hey, could you put me in touch with so-and-so? Boom. I've attached myself as a producer.
And it's such a good idea.
It's interesting that Todd is there in that case.
Yeah, I reckon that'd be good for her business, though. Because he meets people and he's like, oh, yeah, I run, like, the daycare center
at this place. That's true. I forgot that the daycare center was, like, part of the agency.
Yeah.
I am offended that I wasn't important enough for your real wedding, but I'm flattered I'm important enough for your industry one.
Are you kidding? Horny Unicorn is tracking huge.
What?
All of Hollywoob is buzzing about your comeback.
No. Did you say Hollywoob?
Interesting that it still got made.
Yeah.
Like, I really thought after that episode with Vance, he'd sort of become disillusioned. And it's like, no, I don't want to hang out with this guy.
Yeah. Hmm. He brings that up with Diane, which I think will be interesting to discuss there. Bojack says that he's, like, really enjoying the theater in the prison.
I thought that maybe when I got out, I could go back and volunteer.
Oh, well, that sounds fabulous.
I didn't even think that I'd have other options. A year ago, everyone in this town hated me.
People have short memories.
Maybe there's a way I could do both. I've really enjoyed teaching. Maybe I could direct something.
I'm sorry I said anything. Think it over. I'm sure you'll make the right decision. Well, a decision.
Princess Carolyn gets a bit, like, fidgety. Like, I didn't understand what they were going for there.
I think that when he starts to, like, get enthusiastic about, like, getting back into the industry, I think it's partly, like, her realizing that him wanting to just volunteer and teach a little bit was probably a more positive move for him.
Oh.
And also her a little bit worried that he's going to ask her to represent him again.
Mm. Yeah, okay. So Princess Carolyn and Bojack dance, and Bojack tells her he had this little fantasy that he was going to have to save the day.
I'd get here and there'd be some disaster, and I knew that either I would cause it or just maybe I would be the only one who could fix it.
A disaster, huh?
Like it would be time for the wedding and no one would know where to find you. And I'd find you in some special spot and I'd say, come on. It's time to go. I would talk you into going through with it. And it would be like a symbol of how much I'd grown that I could let you go. I'm happy for you. Just, it's a better story if you had cold feet.
It's a better story for you. I think I like it better this way.
I guess you're right.
A nice bit of, like, it's not all about you. Like,
Yeah. So Princess Carolyn asks him what they would have said.
Tell me what you're afraid of.
In this make-believe scenario that you came up with?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I guess I'm afraid of losing some part of myself. I'm afraid that if I let someone else take care of me, that I'm not really me anymore. I'm afraid of getting too comfortable, you know, going soft. I'm afraid that this could be the best thing that ever happened to me, and if it doesn't make me as happy as I'm supposed to be, that means I'm a lost cause.
Holy shit.
What?
I don't know. Those are some really good arguments.
Are you kidding me?
Okay, look, yes, all those things could be true. But on the other hand, what if you deserve to be happy and this is the thing that will make you happy? And maybe don't worry about whether you'll be happy later and just focus on how you're happy right now.
Oh, is it that easy?
No, but you're here because at some point Princess Carolyn thought this was a good idea. And I think we ought to listen to her. Because she's the smartest woman I know.
That's true, she is.
So what do you think? Are you gonna marry him?
Well, I already got the dress.
But you didn't need me to say any of that, did you?
I guess I didn't.
And yeah, that kind of ends with him asking. See, on the rewatch, I read it differently. When I made my notes, I read it as he's asking to be represented by her again. And she's like coyly like, oh yeah, sure. But on the rewatch, I think that he's asking for representation. And she's like, we'll find you somebody really good that isn't going to be me. How did you take that?
Hey, if I do decide to get back into the business when I get out of prison, I'm going to need representation. Someone who can look out for me, help me make the right decisions, get me out of trouble.
I can recommend some excellent people.
I think that he is asking in a way where he's making it pretty clear that he would like her to represent him, but he's phrasing it in a way that she can easily bow out, and he's okay with it when she does.
Oh,
I think
okay.
She's offering to recommend someone else, and he's like, yeah, I kind of figured. Like, but it, you're right, it is quite ambiguous.
Hmm. Yeah, it's nice, and that's the ending for them. Personally, I think she shouldn't represent him.
Oh, yeah, for sure, no.
Yeah. But they should stay friends. Then we jump up to the roof.
Which is very dangerous. Always use a ladder or, like, climb. Don't just try and jump up there.
Diane is sitting there smoking, and Bojack joins her up there.
Hey.
Thought I might find you here.
I'm trying to quit.
Yeah, you look like you're trying really hard.
Don't be shitty.
Just want to mention, I think it's really weird, like, there's this open door that just leads with a sign that says roof, and you just walk up there, and I don't know if there's, like, a balcony up there that is what they're actually pointing to, or if they're just inviting people to crawl onto the tiles of the roof.
Hmm.
So they make small talk, and they talk about her new book, they joke about prison.
I've also got a new movie coming out.
Oh, yeah, with Vance Wagner, right?
I know what you're thinking, but he's
you
actually
don't need
not
to explain yourself to
no,
me.
I know you think that I'm some kind of a sellout.
Don't tell
but
me what I
like
think.
All these other
I'm not going to help you work through whatever you're trying to work through here. I just came out here to smoke. You came to me.
Because I wanted to talk to you.
About what? The horny unicorn?
No, about, I don't know. I just wanted to talk to you. I miss talking to you.
That makes sense, because Diane, like, that is not her jam, and she's kind of disappointed yeah. the Bojack would do it.
This whole conversation is kind of about her being finished, being Bojack's conscience for him.
Yeah. Diane says she wishes she has her phone, and Bojack, like, oh, yeah.
I know what you mean. I never know what to do with my hands at parties.
No, I wish I had my phone so I could play you the last voicemail you left me. I thought you were sober. Things were good in my life, and I was thinking about my future. And then I woke up one morning, and I had this voicemail.
Look, I wasn't in
You were happy on the voicemail.
I'm sorry.
And you were clearly intoxicated. I'm going swimming, you said. Since nothing matters anyway, and nobody cares about me, I might as well go swimming, right?
I'm so sorry.
Call me back if you don't want me to go swimming. Otherwise, I'm just going to assume you don't care. I thought you were dead. For 7 hours, I couldn't get in touch with anyone, and I was sure you were dead. And it was my fault for leaving you, for feeling good, for not worrying. When I left for Chicago, you promised me you were going to be okay, but I made you promise me that.
I think it's an interesting move that we never get to hear the voicemail ourselves.
Mm.
We only hear Diane's point of view on it.
Yeah.
Why did you call me? You knew I was in Chicago.
I don't know. I was drunk, and I was high, and I wanted to talk to you.
When I found out you weren't dead, I was angry. I was relieved, but I was also angry that I'd given you that power over me. I was angry at you for a really long time.
Are you still angry at me?
No. I don't know. What good has being angry at you ever done for me?
I'm sorry.
I wish I could have been the person you thought I was. The person who would save you.
That was never your job.
Then why did you always make me feel like it was? Anyway, I'm glad you're alive.
I am too.
Throughout this conversation, I keep thinking back to when he finally came back from Michigan and he was at that party with Diane and she's really drunk and she says, "You're the biggest asshole I know and you're the only thing in my life that makes sense."
Ooh.
Their relationship has changed and evolved a lot over the seasons.
I think there are people that help you become the person that you end up being, and you can be grateful for them even if they were never meant to be in your life forever. I'm glad I knew you too.
New, huh?
Hmm.
There are definitely, like, friends and partners and things in my life that I've had where, like, it's weird to think that there are people that I am just not in contact with anymore. Even people who we shared a lot of really important, vulnerable things.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, yeah, that's kind of natural.
Yeah, I agree. You, like, change and evolve as people, and that's not always in the same direction. So it makes sense yeah. that we would naturally grow away from people. Kind of get caught up on what Diane's been going through this last year. So at the time of the voicemail, as we know, Guy and Diane were planning to move to Houston to be with Sunny. Because of the voicemail, she got scared. So she stayed in Chicago, which really surprised me.
Wasn't she only in Chicago because of Guy?
Yeah, exactly. Like, what?
And she kind of disliked it.
Yeah, I don't understand why she stayed without him.
I mean, I don't know, maybe by that point she'd, like, built up a bit more, like, social infrastructure and stuff there. I mean, she's not gonna move back to LA.
I didn't trust myself. I was happy, and I didn't trust that, so I stayed in Chicago. I tried to make it work, long distance, but it was hard. Eventually I just thought, this is stupid.
So what, you broke up with him?
No, I moved to Houston.
And through this, she's referring to Guy as her boyfriend at the time.
Yeah.
Which is manipulative. I was like, oh my God, no. But yeah, then we find out that, Diane and Guy are actually married now, and she's moved to Houston, and she really likes it there.
How'd you learn how to trust it, the happiness?
I didn't, but I trust him.
It's hard to imagine you in Houston.
Oh, I'm like a totally different person now.
Are you?
No. Yes, I wear fewer jackets. I smile more.
We've talked about the symbolism of, like, the jacket and, like, them being, like, symbolic of how Diane's changing. And I feel like getting rid of the jacket altogether, like, the idea that she's often not wearing a jacket now, kind of is meant to be, like, allowing herself to be more vulnerable.
Yeah.
Leaving the always wearing a jacket thing behind is, like, a very positive step for her character.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know if I'm just reading too much into the hokey pokey here.
Sometimes I look back at my LA years and I think, who was that person?
Does she ever come back, that Diane?
Sometimes. I felt her when I got back to LA. I feel her now that I'm talking to you.
I like the bit where she mentions that the old her isn't gone. It comes out every now and again.
Mm.
Yeah, like when I go back to my hometown, I'm like, oh yeah, there's this different person, and I kind of feel like her now.
I know that feeling.
And Diane says that she's glad for the time she spent in LA and for all the people she met.
You ever miss the mess?
No, miss is the wrong word. I'm glad I lived in LA, but I am not nostalgic for it. I'm glad I knew Mr. Peanut Butter, even though he's not in my life anymore.
Yeah?
I'm glad I knew you, too.
Knew, huh?
Hmm.
Hey, wouldn't it be funny if this night was the last time we ever talked to each other?
And it gets immediately awkward.
Yep.
Because clearly that's what Diane intends.
Yeah.
Or maybe not intends, but knows is the case.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Diane says something that she has to say. I don't break the silence, but BoJack is trying to stop her.
I need to tell you.
No, you don't have to. You don't owe me.
No, I need to tell you. Thank you. And it's going to be okay. And I'm sorry. And thank you.
Wait.
Why?
I know. But can I just tell you a funny story?
Sure. But it better be very funny.
I don't want to lie to you. It's only kind of funny.
And it's a funny story about how in prison the movie night is rigged.
That sounds awful.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do? Life's a bitch and then you die, right?
Sometimes. Sometimes life's a bitch and then you keep living.
Yeah.
But it's a nice night, huh?
Yeah. This is nice.
And then they look at the stars. And a song plays.
Mr. Blue, I told you that I love you, please believe me.
The nice song.
And then they make out. Do you imagine?
Oh my God.
I think that it's in the same way that I think it's like very classy that they didn't end the series with BoJack dying. I think it's very classy that BoJack and Diane never get together.
Yeah, I agree.
The song is Mr. Blue by Catherine Feeney, and it continues playing into the credits. But before the credits, we do just see Diane and BoJack sitting in slightly awkward silence for 1 minute and 17 seconds. Just, like, brutal.
I liked it. I didn't think it was awkward silence. I thought it was, like, contentment. Like, they're just both enjoying the time being there next to each other.
No, there are, like, bits where, like, their eyes are flicking around and, like, a couple of times they, like, go to say something and then don't.
Okay.
I don't know. It's not necessarily awkward, but I also wouldn't say it's, like, a comfortable silence.
Okay. Something that's bugging me that you can probably explain because you're this smart. Why does the episode start with this as well? Part of me was like, are they trying to like hint that maybe none of this happened?
I don't think it's that.
Okay.
That would be wild. Hang on. Is it like the very first thing we see before we even see the montage of him being alive?
Yeah. So it's them staring up at the stars in the same outfits, and then the green heartbeat comes in.
For people watching closely on their first watch through, they're looking at it thinking like, oh, what are we going to see? It's almost as though it's put there for people rewatching the episode.
Yeah.
On my first watch, I would have just barely even noticed that. Whereas like when you watch again, you're like, oh yeah, that's how this episode ends. Yeah, I don't know. I hadn't thought about that, but it is a little odd.
Yeah. It's a nice image. I bet a lot of people have that as like, well, maybe not that. It is kind of depressing the way they look sad. But like I could see it being used as like a desktop background.
I would like to talk about an email that we received on the 2nd of February.
Okay.
It's from listener Ken, who does tell us about a peanut butter and pickle sandwich. But the first couple of paragraphs I didn't read when we got them because they were very much like, how do you think the season ended? Hi, Jem and Paige. I finished watching the BoJack Horseman finale yesterday and I'm looking forward to hearing your coverage of it. Were you guys happy with how it ended? And more important, do you think BoJack got what he deserved for the terrible things he's done? I've really noticed that as the series continues, we see more and more of BoJack's friends' lives improve and grow stronger as they move away from BoJack's toxicity. It made me feel bad for BoJack since it seems like he became more isolated, but hearing all the terrible stuff he did in succession during the interview also made me realize how many people he's really hurt. It just felt really gross. In terms of whether I think this was a good finale, I think it was. It's a nice epilogue. There's not really any action in this episode. It's pure closure. I honestly think that BoJack dying at the end would have been a cop-out. Having him keep on living is good. But I also think all of his kind of goodbye moments with different characters were really nice.
Yeah.
As for him getting what he deserved for the terrible things he's done, for me, that's kind of the wrong question. Like, I've been thinking a lot about redemption arcs. I think that the point of redeeming a character is not about erasing the bad things they did. It's about them making a choice to do good going forward. There are bridges he's burned that he will never get to rebuild and should never get to rebuild. Like, BoJack is never going to have a relationship with Charlotte or Penny ever again. That's going to continue to be appropriate no matter how good of a person BoJack is in the future. Even if an abuser turns their life around and becomes a good person and starts doing good in the world, that doesn't mean that the people they hurt have to forgive them or have any kind of relationship with them. And I think that, like, it's a little bit different, but, like, obviously Diane and BoJack's friendship had become toxic for Diane, and she moved on. So did Todd. Todd moved on from BoJack. They didn't owe him anything, really, for the time that they'd shared together. Like, it's important to make decisions for yourself. I don't know. I feel like I'm rambling, but basically, I think that BoJack getting what he deserves is not really that important to me. Like, I don't want him to be punished. I want him to change. I think the best we were ever going to get was that he's going to have the opportunity and the motivation to continue changing, because opportunities to do harm or good never go away. Villainy isn't permanent, and neither is redemption. Having the opportunity to do good things after you've done bad things is just kind of what everyone deserves. And he got that, so I like that.
Yeah, no, I agree with what you said. Yeah, It was a nice ending for Diane and Todd and Princess Carolyn to an extent to realize that they can't fix him. They have to distance themselves. And like with Diane and Todd, that's like their personal relationship. And I think with Princess Carolyn, it's their work relationship. Mm. Good old Mr. Peanut Butter, I think he's just going to continue to be there for BoJack.
Yeah.
Which I think is a good way to end it. Yeah, and I think it's really interesting how, like, his actions have had these social consequences, you know, the friendships with Diane and Todd ending, but also he has the consequence of going to prison as well, like a consequence that's given to him by the community.
Yeah.
I liked the final episode.
Hmm.
The way BoJack Horseman is, like, the show, I think it would be really hard to, like if BoJack got what he morally, deserved, like, to die, or something like that, the effect it had on the other characters would be heartbreaking, and I don't think I want to see them suffer because of quote-unquote punishment that BoJack gets.
I feel like the mentality that people do harm deserve to die is not that helpful on a large scale. If people show no willing to mitigate harm or do good, then I think that, you know, removing them from situations where they can do harm or from society or whatever is obviously a good thing. But if someone's been really shitty and they can either die or do good things, them being allowed to do some good is always the better option,
mm-hmm.
because that means there's more good in the world, whereas like if they die, that erases any potential bad or good that they could have done. Yeah, there are some people that are just gonna only do harm forever, but there are a lot of people who could turn their lives around and be much better people. And we've talked about this a little bit already, that like the mentality that people who do fucked up things should get cancelled forever kind of disincentivizes change.
Mm.
It makes people double down on their shitty behavior instead.
Yeah, and possibly do worse things to cover things up.
It's important to strike a balance between giving people the opportunity to improve and change and holding people accountable for their actions.
Yeah.
BoJack fucks up a lot, but the narrative of the season has always been about him genuinely trying to change.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's been his journey, not necessarily a journey of change, but a journey of willingness to do so.
Yeah. I also think this ending is a good roadmap or like education for people. Like if you have somebody toxic in your life, kind of shows that you can cut them out and it doesn't mean that their life turns to shit. And, you know, whereas if he, you know, something bad happened to him, I feel like a person in that situation could be like, well, like the opposite of what you've just said, like, well, no, the same thing you've just said. I don't know. Don't know where I was going with that, Jim. But yeah, I think if you can take anything out of the show, it's that we're against the death penalty.
Seeing BoJack die or have his life like utterly ruined in some way, like if he'd gotten life in prison, I don't know, like it wouldn't be cathartic for me as a viewer, because I feel like no matter how much we're like shown how bad a person BoJack is, or like, you know, how bad his actions have been, the series is still about him and from his point of view. And like, no matter how much you want to condemn BoJack for the bad things he's done, you do get to see how complicated the reasons he did those things were.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's very hard to outright just see him as like the villain of the series.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has done a lot of harm.
He's also, you feel sympathetic towards him.
Like, we're made to feel empathy for him.
Mm.
That's, like, part of why the writing of the show is so good. They were able to effectively do that with such a deeply flawed person.
Yeah.
Did you know that the series was cancelled prematurely?
No.
Raphael wanted the show to go on for another couple of seasons, but basically he'd talked to Netflix and been like, hey, I know you don't really do this, but I would appreciate a heads up if you're going to cancel us, because then we can make the final season a really good final season instead of setting up all these cliffhangers. And when they renewed the sixth series, they were like, I think this is your heads up, by the way.
Okay.
Quote from Will Arnett, I think initially I was a little saddened that Raphael maybe thought that he couldn't fully see through his vision for the show. But when the sixth series became a two-parter and we got to do 16 episodes, I thought it was a pretty happy medium in a lot of ways. I can't question it. They let us have 6 years. They gave us a lot of room and a lot of rope over the years. And at the end of the day, I guess it's always a business decision, and that's their right. Personally, I feel like this may again be related to Netflix being pissed off that Tornante was unionizing, but either way, like, they ended things earlier than they wanted to, and they did a good job. Like, the fact that this fact was a surprise to both of us shows that, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
But it would have been really interesting to see what they would have done if they were given a little more time. Also, quote from Raphael: I don't want to rule anything out, but I will say I'm very happy with where we leave all the characters at the end of the show. Right now, I am not itching to tell more stories in the universe, even though there were more stories that I would have been happy to tell. And a quote from Will Arnett: there are other things that we've talked about doing, sort of extensions in the BoJack world. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Of course, we live in very strange time now, so who knows what's going to happen. But we've talked about a couple of different things. So there definitely could be BoJack spin-offs one day.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds like they're in no rush.
Yeah, because it is an interesting world they've set up.
Well, one thing I would really love to see as a spin-off is Charlotte and Penny's side of everything. Like, a show that focuses on Charlotte, and we get to see, like, her making the family, and, like, I would like to actually see the fallout of what happened with Penny.
Yeah.
And, like, the way their relationship changed. Having all that happen off screen in BoJack isn't a cop-out. I think that was a fine way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, I think that you could make a really compelling series that just focuses on that side of things.
Yeah, I agree. I laughed in the middle there because it was like, so you want a Midnight Sun?
I guess. I want BoJack Horseman Midnight Sun. It would also be interesting to see, like, the future of Todd and Maud's relationship.
Yeah.
Most of the main characters, I'm pretty content with where their stories got left.
I reckon I could watch more, like, a show centered around Mr. Peanut Butter.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. It could get tiring. But yeah, I reckon, yeah, Charlotte would be top of the list because she was really fun and quirky, and she also has this, like, depth that we only really saw when it connected with BoJack's story.
Yeah.
So, like, how did she meet her husband? What's it like raising kids in the BoJack Horseman universe that are of different species? I agree. Start a petition.
We also got an email from Bridget, who is the one who first, like, gave us the idea to make mugs. As a picture of her holding her Horse and Aloud mug.
Oh my god!
Thanks, Bridget. We finally made it. By it, I mean a mug.
And look, she's got us in the background.
Redbubble, Horse and Aloud, get on it. If you want.
Yeah.
How do I get money from this? I don't actually know how Redbubble works, but, like, I would have assumed that when I had, like, my first sale, I would have gotten a notification of some kind, but I totally didn't.
Yeah, that's weird.
I think that the way Redbubble works is you don't get a payout until you've reached a certain threshold of... sales. Okay.
That makes sense. It probably saves them money than doing, like, transferring you cents at a time.
I'm gonna look at my activity feed. Someone bought Horse and Aloud on one mug a month ago. Oh. Thanks, Bridget.
Thanks, Bridget.
It's the only thing in the feed.
I like that neither of us have put an order in either. Just Bridget.
Obviously, I hope that other people who like the show take advantage of the opportunity to buy things on mugs and masks and other things. But at the same time, it would be kind of beautiful if the one person who was like, you should make merch, I would like a mug, was the only person to ever buy our merch after we made that an option to just buy a single mug. Link in the show notes, I guess.
Yeah.
So, speaking of the email, you can still send us emails, I guess, at horseandaloud@gmail.com, but this is the last episode of this.
Yeah.
Until further notice, like, if there's a spinoff, or maybe when season 2 of Duker and Birdie comes out or something, we might do the odd episode here and there, but, like, there's no guarantee we'll do that either. But we might. The feed will still be up. If me and Paige ever make a new podcast, We'll put the first couple of episodes on this feed, so stay subscribed. But me and Paige aren't going to start something new just for the sake of starting something new because this thing is finished. If we do another podcast, it's going to be because we have a really good idea for a new show to do together.
Yeah, it's really weird. My brain has been like coming up with podcast ideas this week, I think because it's just trying to fill the void. And it's like, no, brain, we'll think about this a while longer. Thank you.
But given that this podcast was, when we came up with the idea, basically a practice podcast, because we wanted to like give podcasting a go. And we like basically tried to find like the thing that we both cared about the most that we thought we could do a podcast about. And we kind of settled on BoJack Horseman because it was something that we both had watched and cared about enough. It's been a really interesting journey, like the learning to podcast bit of it, obviously, but also just like, boy, did I analyze and think about BoJack Horseman way more than I ever thought I would in my life.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, making a podcast is like how to ruin a TV show for yourself.
Do you feel like it's been ruined? I feel like once we've talked about an episode, I can then just watch it and not freak out.
Yeah, that's a good point.
The fact that we've said our piece about every single episode of BoJack Horseman, I'm hoping that for me it's just gonna like go back to being a show I really like. Like, I think I'll probably do another like big rewatch fairly soon, if for no other reason than I'm going to be recovering from my tonsillectomy. I will be interested to see how I feel about it without like that little subroutine running in my brain of like, oh, if you notice something you haven't noticed before, make sure you notice it.
Yeah, I don't have any intention to rewatch it anytime soon, but like saying that I might, like cartoons are a show that I rewatch.
Cartoons are a show that we rewatch. If you would like to hear more of me specifically podcasting, you can listen to Grotesques, which is a podcast I do with my friend Kay about the 90s animated show Gargoyles. You do not need to watch Gargoyles to get it. We specifically cater for people who aren't watching the show along with us and have maybe never seen it. For anyone that like listens to Horse and Aloud because they really like the hosts rather than just because they really love BoJack Horseman, you will get half of them in that show.
Yeah.
We also have mugs now.
Yeah, it's a good show. I listen to that one. I enjoy it. Thanks for that. Yeah, no, it's a really good show and Kay's awesome.
Yeah, that's...
Okay.
Should we let the horse live?
Yes.
Should we let the horse just keep on living?
Yes.
If you want to review us or rate us on iTunes, that's still a nice thing to do because, like, the show will continue to exist and other new people will continue to find it.
Yeah, and, like, there's the Facebook page.
Thanks for listening. If you've stuck around with us since episode one, I hope you enjoy how much better we sound now that I've know how to do sound editing properly. But yeah, thank you for listening.
Yeah, it means a lot.
We will never meet or talk to almost any of you, but I see the 1,000 or so downloads we get every month and I know there's people out there.
Yeah,
and that's pretty neat.
It is neat.
I'm Jem DeSalis
and I'm Paige Winkle,
and for what is probably the last time,
suck a dick, dumb shits. Do you want to do a better
one?
I
like that fun rhythm you put into that one.
I wasn't sure if you were going to do it.